This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Matt Doyle producing. Signature support comes from Brian Lowe Financial. 877-217-5757 is your number, as always, and your email is talk@talklouisiana.org. We're in a few moments, we'll hear from Amin Walker, a veteran accountant, about what's going on with the PPP program and such. But we start with Adam Knapp, who has his finger on the pulse of the business community, the man who's headed the Baton Rouge Area Chamber for more than a decade. And it's always good to catch up with Adam Knapp. Good morning to you, sir.
Good morning, Jim. How are you?
Doing well. How is it looking for businesses on day 50 of the stay-at-home order from Governor John Bel Edwards?
We've seen a slow rise, and we're actually going to come out with a new indicators report today. We're doing these weekly. A slow rise in economic activity over the last few weeks. The number of unemployment insurance claims each week seems to be trending slightly downward. The amount of vehicle traffic, the amount of fuel being purchased each week seems to be trending upward. And so I think that's the best news is that slowly things seem to be returning in terms of economic activity. Still down quite a bit, but returning in terms of economic activity.
I have an email from the Louisiana Oil and Gas Association, and it says the economic consequences of the global COVID-19 pandemic, the oil glut generated by the Saudis and Russians, and the lack of storage are being felt at a much quicker pace than previously projected, gravely threatening Louisiana's energy sector. How serious is it?
We've definitely seen a slowdown in investment activity and production at our manufacturing sites in the metro area of Baton Rouge. That's what's the double whammy that we're going through as an economy, I think, is the downturn that's being felt across the energy sector. Now, you know, we're not in the exploration side. We're in the manufacturing and petrochemical production side. So so goes the global consumer, so does the petrochemical sector, and I think that's what we're seeing is that demand has fallen off, obviously, and that's been affecting the amount of activity. Some have remained active. Some have actually picked up. If you're producing plastics, especially products for the medical sector, some of those manufacturers have continued, and some have actually seen scale go up over normal activity, but those that are producing definitely refinery fuels, like we see at the Exxon refinery here in Baton Rouge, for gasoline, for vehicle use, that's definitely down, and their storage issues have become a problem for obvious reasons. You can't keep making it and not having it be used around the world or exported around the world, so you've got a storage issue that then has also crept up.
All right, first email to pop in for Adam Knapp from Stephanie asking about your colleague with LABI, Stephen Wagusback, is hammered away at the governor for the stay-at-home order, saying it should have been lifted. What is your take regarding whether or not it should have been continued or whether the governor is taking the right course?
So we put out a document advising that being open is not necessarily in conflict with being under a stay-at-work order. And our guidance has been that if you can give instructions to businesses about how to be open safely, as the CDC and OSHA have done, that we can be going to work, be active at work, and be doing so under restricted guidance for what that new safety restriction looks like. And that document, if folks want to look at it, is on our website at brac.org/recovery under business resources. What we've been advocating, Jim, is that as essential businesses have been open, safety is about planning and preparation and caution, and that many of the employers that have been in, and remember, not very many sectors were closed. Those that were closed, it's been much more difficult. But those that have been allowed to be open have also been in this kind of fuzzy area of being open, but without a whole lot of guidance or consumer activity. And so we had been advocating that there are ways to be open and be safe and allow for a stay-at-home order to continue as it has been for the essential industries.
All right. I hear what you're saying, but the question was whether or not the stay-at-home order should have been continued. Should it have been continued?
Yeah, I think that's what we've been trying to say all along, is you can continue the stay-at-home order as long as you allow businesses to be open and give them guidance on how to do so safely, which there's readily available.
All right, well, for example, how many employees do you have at BRAC?
We have 28 employees.
Okay. You got a nice building. You got lots of space, but how many are at the office? Are you there?
No. We're all still remote. We want to make sure we use the guidance from CDC and OSHA, which is encouraged that as many that can work remotely as possible.
Okay, but do you consider that, Adam, being open?
We are open in the fact that we are still working, but our business location will open when we feel like we have the preparations for ourselves to be open and to be able to do that safely for our staff. There's nothing prohibiting our office from being open, and we're taking a bunch of caution to make ourselves safe.
Yeah, but if I have a question for you, now I live down the street from you, you're a good neighbor, I can go knock on your door, but not everybody has that luxury. Some people would probably like to go by your office and talk with you. What do they do then?
So we have readily available information about how to get to us. Everybody is online all day working. Everybody can reach us. Our information on how to find us is on our website. I don't think anybody has had trouble getting us by phone or by email throughout the entire crisis. And I think what, Jim, I think you're asking is how does open work going forward, and what is the meaning of open? Our doors will reopen physically and have guidance for how that works soon. And I think a lot of employers like us are working through the plans for how to make that happen. What we have been instructing, though, is a lot of folks that are in the retail business, for example, have been allowed to be open but with limited guidance about how to do so. And we've been trying to make sure we're getting that information out to them about how to be open and how to be safe while you're open.
Now, the governor, I believe, next Monday on the 11th, will announce what he's going to do on the 15th. And even in New York, which has been the epicenter of this, Governor Cuomo is showing indications that he's going to try to open things up and see what happens. What do you anticipate will happen in Louisiana come May 15th?
I think it's going to be a phased reopening like the governor has alluded to already. He's talked about he's been referring to as phase one starting on May 15th, assuming the downward trend continues. And we're expecting that to be what happens on May 15th. And that's a Friday. So the real beginning of the new work week is the 18th, the Monday afterwards. And that's where I think a lot of folks will be planning toward what does that beginning of reopening look like around the 18th.
Okay. Another listener. This is Holly in the Garden District, probably a neighbor of yours and mine. Asking about this photo on the front page of the Capitol showing lawmakers, obviously much closer than 6 feet, gathering for the resumption of the session. They're open for business. Did they make the right call, or should they have done this a different way?
I think it was important that they come back in. It was interesting, Jim, and I think this is going to play out in the business community similarly, that 78 members of the House attended yesterday, 25 members of the Senate. That would make it difficult to get to, for example, a two-thirds vote for a constitutional amendment with only 78 members attending.
Well, and 25 would not even be a two-thirds of the Senate. Well, you say 78 House members, 25 senators, is that correct?
That was what was there yesterday, that's right. So I think you're going to see that there are some, even with it being open, there's folks who feel like it's not safe for them to be there, and they're making personal choices based on their own conditions or their own reasons. But business continues, and so the meeting to hear bills, to debate issues, I think is important that the state's doing its business as it is for employers to be doing their business, but doing so safely. And I think that's what the guidance is going to be important for, is making sure that is understood by employers about what it makes to keep your people or your customers safe.
David in Atlanta. David, you're on with Adam Knapp. Please be brief.
Good morning, gentlemen. I'd like to ask you, guests, how do you feel about President Trump wanting to increase postal package rates 400%. The fact check of the Washington Post gave them four Pinocchios. Raising package rates for the Postal Service would just about put them out of business, not help their business. The business would go to UPS and FedEx, and Trump is using this as a vendetta against Jeffrey Bezos. That is an impeachable offense of abuse of power.
All right. What do you think about possible postal increases?
It has not come up as something we've looked at. Sorry, I don't think we have any expertise to comment on that.
Well, generally, increases in doing business are not good for business.
I think that's the safe thing to say, is that we're worried about business costs overall going up. There are some costs that are down, like fuel costs are down for obvious reasons, and that's going to affect employers. But we are in a period of such substantial revenue decline that you know, every business cost that you have to cover right now is hitting you. I think you're still seeing a lot of employers, using their forbearances on their mortgages or asking for rent relief, looking for every way to try to extend their cash burn rate as far as possible.
And you have been having these remote meetings featuring prominent people. I know you have some coming this week. If you could give us, we've got about 30 seconds, some of the opportunities for people who are listening to participate by going to the BRAC website. What's the best way? Or who do you have featured this week?
Yeah, at 11 o'clock today, a really popular one, surprisingly, I guess, is that we're looking at the accounting of the PPP loan forgiveness at 11 o'clock today. And then we're going to meet with our Speaker of the House on Friday.
Speaker of the House Clay Schexnider Friday at 11 a.m. as well. And tomorrow.
All of that is on BRAC.org/recovery. That's right.
BRAC.org/recovery. Thank you, Adam. Good to catch up. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Jim.